This is a tape recording of the first Bible Time broadcast by the Omaha Gospel Chapel, 45th and Hamilton, on October the 28th, 1962.
It's Bible Time, and this is Donald Moffat greeting you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and inviting you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as we look into the Word of God. There never was a time when the simple message of the Gospel was more needed than at this present moment. There are hearts which are lonely, sad, burdened, and weary. There are hearts which have tried to find satisfaction in earthly joys, only to be disappointed. Men and women need the Savior, the Blessed One, of whom the Gospel speaks. It is the aim of Bible Time to spread this wonderful message far and near. Each week, we are reaching hundreds of thousands, but there are millions who need to hear this message. I want you to make this broadcast and the work of Bible Time a special matter of prayer. I want every Christian to remember us daily before the throne of grace. Will you do it? God will work only as His people pray. Shall we seek the face of God? Our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to Thee now and thank Thee for the privilege Thou hast given us of sending forth the glorious message of the Gospel. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt bless it to the salvation of many souls, and grant that today many might be saved, for we ask it in His name and for His glory. Amen. We live in an age when scientific research and progress has almost completely captured the minds of all men. Our newspapers and national magazines are primarily occupied with the race to conquer outer space. The mysterious world and mechanisms of higher science has left the average person befuddled and dazed. We are left to wonder what and where the next advance in this complicated field of man's inventiveness will lead us. And behind it all, there is a gnawing dread that we are not heading for peace but for catastrophe. With rapid strides, a search is being made for more destructive atomic weapons and bombs, for death rays capable of killing at hundreds of yards, for more effective long-range guided missiles, for more powerful atomic-powered rockets, for larger and more completely equipped Earth satellites, until the reasoning of man has given way to an air of fearful expectancy, and the attitude has developed that we might as well enjoy this life to the full, for time is rapidly running out. The truth is simply that Satan has captured the minds of multitudes with these things, and in so doing has shut out the glorious message of the Gospel and of salvation by faith in Christ. The Bible tells us that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious Gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan will use every means at his disposal to keep us from thinking about these things which really matter, the things which are eternal. You see, he does not want men and women to come to Christ and be saved. But when we turn to the Bible, the Word of God, we learn that the one need of men today is to come into the enjoyment of God's wonderful salvation. God has provided a salvation for men which touches every sphere and activity of his life. It is a salvation which is absolutely necessary if we are to fully enjoy life. In Acts 4 and 12, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Notice that the Lord says through his servant that we must be saved. And when God uses that word must, he means just what he says. We must be saved. We must be saved before we can know a full release from guilt consciousness. We must be saved before we can know the relief of the burden of sin being lifted. We must be saved before we can be brought into a right relationship with our God. Sin has marred and broken man's fellowship with God, but through salvation, all that was lost can be restored. We must be saved before we can begin to live a full and happy life, before we can enjoy more abundant living. Yes, God's Word comes ringing down through the centuries with the same appeal and message. We must be saved. Now, for a few moments, I want you to think of this salvation, which God has said is so important to man. It is not something which we can afford to ignore. The consequences are of too vital importance. We must consider it. And when we do consider such a great subject as this, there is only one authority to which we can go, and that is the unerring, inspired Word of God. We must go to the Bible. And if you have your Bible handy, will you follow me in it as we look at some of the scriptures which tell us about this salvation? In the little epistle of Jude, just before the book of the Revelation, we are told in verse 3 that it is a common salvation. Now, this does not infer that there are a good many salvations and that this is just one of a number. The testimony of the Bible is that there is only one way of salvation, and that is through trusting Christ as Savior and the committing of one's soul to Him. But it does mean that this salvation meets a common need. It meets the need of sinners, and this includes all of us. For Romans 3 and 23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is not a person walking the face of the earth who does not need this salvation. But it is common also because it is for all. None are excluded in God's gracious invitation to sinners to come and be saved. The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then he further assures us by telling us that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The gospel message is to whosoever will. And what a thrill it gives my heart to be able to proclaim once again today that irrespective of what you are and of who you are, there is a wonderful salvation provided for you by God, and it will be yours if you will take it, and I trust that you will. There is another description given of this salvation in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, where we read, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" It is a so great salvation. In other words, it is a salvation which staggers the imagination and defies description. It is a so great salvation, for great love devised it. I'm confident it would never have entered into the mind of man apart from the revelation of the Bible that God loved them so much that he was willing to give his only Son to die in our stead, that we might be saved from the penalty of our sins. Well might we exclaim with one of old, "His love to me was wonderful." And then, great wisdom planned it. The plan of salvation is the ultimate manifestation of divine wisdom. It was the only way that a righteous God could reconcile rebel sinners unto himself, bringing them into an intimate relationship with the one against whom they had sinned, so that now the saved one is called the child of God. And what wisdom is this? A third point of greatness is that great power accomplished it. And the power of this salvation is never more strikingly demonstrated than at the empty tomb. Romans 1 and 4 tells us of Christ that he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The power of God was revealed by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. But more than that, the resurrection tells us that God was completely satisfied with the sacrifice offered by his Son at Calvary. We could go on and on to speak of the greatness of this salvation, but the greatness of it is only fully appreciated and enjoyed by those who have received it through faith in God's Son. A great blessing rests upon those who will receive it, and if you haven't received it as yet, I trust you will do so ere this program ends. Going on a little further in the Hebrew Epistle to chapter 5 and verse 9, we find that salvation is described as eternal salvation. Thank God it is for eternity. Thrones may totter and fall, governments may change, financial depression and national catastrophe may occur, famine and epidemic may sweep the world, but none of these can for one split moment affect in any way this great and wonderful salvation of which I am speaking, for it is eternal. Here is something which stretches beyond the confines of this life. It reaches and abides throughout eternity. It is eternal salvation. Friend, do you have this salvation? Do you personally know Christ as your Savior? Do you rejoice at this moment that you have the blessed knowledge that you are saved with an eternal salvation? It is a salvation which can never be altered. It is a salvation which can never be lost. It is eternal salvation. And best of all, it can be yours. Oh, I just wish today that I might be granted the powers of description so that I might tell you, as I should, of this unspeakable blessing God in His matchless grace has provided for you. But I feel, as a poet, when he wrote those beautiful lines, if I could only tell him as I know him, human tongue can never tell all love divine. I only can entreat you to accept him. You will know him only when you make him thine. And thank God, you can know him. You can make him yours today. For the promise of Luke 19:9 is, this day is salvation come to thy house. Salvation can come to your house today. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's not one reason why you should go on any longer without Christ. You can be saved right at this moment. For this salvation is an immediate salvation. The very moment a sinner, acknowledging his need, comes to Christ and unreservedly puts his trust in him, believes that he died for his sins, at that moment, a great transaction takes place. The sinner knows his sins forgiven and has the blessed assurance from the Word of God that all is well for eternity. How about it now, friend? Are you going to make this your day of decision? Are you going to put your trust in a Savior now? Some of you have written me saying that you would like to be saved. Well, just listen carefully for a moment. Salvation depends wholly and solely upon the work of the eternal Son of God. That work was completely accomplished by the Lord Jesus when he died upon the cross at Calvary. At Calvary, God dealt with his Son on account of your sin and mine. The Lord Jesus, in love to our souls, became answerable for our great debt of sin, and God, in righteousness, exacted full payment during the 3 lonely, dark hours of Calvary. The gospel message is that Christ died for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And now, having completed the work, the Lord Jesus wants you to just trust him as your Savior. Will you do it now from an honest and sincere heart? Bow your head at this moment and say, Lord Jesus, I do believe that you died for my sins. I will now trust you as my Savior. May God help you to do it. And then I would like you to write and tell us of your decision for Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word and grant that many today might receive thy Son as their Savior and know the peace and joy that comes with sins forgiven and the knowledge of being saved, for we ask it in his name and for his glory. And now, this is Donald Moffat. I do trust the Lord has blessed your heart through his word today. If you are in need of spiritual help, be sure to write us and allow us to send you some fine literature absolutely free. Then, be sure to tune in next week at the same time for another Bible Time program. Until then, goodbye, and I do trust you will experience and enjoy the rich and abundant blessing the Lord has for you.